I'd like to continue just for a few moments tonight with the current Wednesday night series we've been doing on studies in the Christian home. And we're going back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. This has been the passage that has captivated our attention for a few weeks now. And in our first couple of lessons, we looked at this whole principle of education in the home. And this is a key passage for parents to take note of. It says in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." So we commence with the parent and the parent's heart and the importance of that truth being possessed in the inner part of the parent's life. The word of God in the heart speaks of a life of obedience, speaks of a love for the Word of God, speaks of a life that is filled with the Word of God. And then from that basis, then the parent is to flow out then in the home with a teaching ministry in the lives of their children. Verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." And the phrase "teach them diligently" has the idea of to sharpen as you would an arrow. It's interesting that the Bible uses that imagery of children in the Word of God. Psalm 127, children are likened to arrows in the quiver. And children need to be sharpened and molded and shaped, and they need careful attention to ensure that they are shaped with a godly worldview, a biblical worldview. And so this teaching ministry is to have both formal and informal aspects, teaching them, and then we see it flows out into the informal day-to-day living of the family. "And shalt talk of them," verse 7, "when thou sittest in thine house," times of relaxation, "when thou walkest by the way," times of travel, "when thou liest down and when thou risest up." So this is more of an informal type of teaching, one that it really is just an outflow of the life, discussing things in an informal way, truth being imparted in that manner. Verse 8, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." So it's good for us to also display the Word of God in our dwelling place, in our homes, but the key principle there is that the Word of God is always before us, before our eyes. We're taking diligent attention, putting diligent attention into what the Word of God teaches. And so, While we've been considering this, it just makes sense to me to consider, as we did last week and then again tonight, the subject of media in the home. Okay, if the Word of God is going to occupy the central position that is stated for us here, then we need to be aware as parents of the threats to that. Okay, and media in our day is a great challenge that we need to take note of. As parents, we need to be aware of the potential for good, but also the potential for much evil, as we know. And truly, the world, the flesh and the devil are having a field day in the area of media today. So as parents, we need to be on guard to make sure the Word of God occupies central position, making sure that we are diligent in monitoring the avenues that the devil could potentially use to get his philosophies and ideas into our homes. So what we want to look at tonight is some scriptural principles that we can use to regulate our media use. Last week we just looked at some statistics and some alarming statistics about media consumption today and the violent content in media. Research says that by the time the average teenager in the US reaches 18, they will have viewed 16,000 simulated murders and 200,000 acts of violence on television. Now, that's just television. That's not counting all the violent video games. That's not looking at things like pornographic content and immorality. I mean, it just boggles the mind to think about the sea of imagery the average person swims through out there, violent imagery and immoral imagery. And so, as Christians, we need to apply the Word of God diligently in this area. It is certainly one of the strongholds that Satan is using today. So, by way of introduction, I know we will not find the words television, iPad, iPhone, or Xbox in the Bible. Okay, you can try getting concordance, but you won't find those words there. Does that mean that the Bible has nothing to say on this subject? No, because we believe the Word of God transcends the ages, doesn't it? Whether you're living back in the time of Abraham or whether you're in the 21st century, God in His wisdom has placed keys, principles, truths in His Word that will help us to walk the Christian life in a practical way in every age. So what we want to look at tonight is some principles that will help us with managing the media in our homes, in our personal lives. And I've called these filters, okay? There's four filters I'd like us to look at tonight, okay? We talked briefly last week about the need to take the Word of God and use it as a filter for what we allow in our homes and in our lives through media. And I want to give you four Bible filters tonight that'll help us in this area. Number one, the content filter, okay? Number one, the content filter. Turn with me to Philippians 4:8, please. And this verse, probably above all others, would be the key verse on this subject as far as a very clear scriptural principle is concerned that can be applied to more than one area of life, but certainly it would apply to our media consumption. Philippians 4 and verse 8, and let's read it together on the count of two. 1, 2. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Do you know that God requires certain things of our minds as Christians? In fact, the Lord claims sovereignty over the Christian's mind. God is interested not merely in what we do outwardly so far as actions are concerned, but God is interested with what we as Christians are allowing into our mind. The mind is the seat of moral judgment, where decisions are made, where character is shaped and moulded. The battle very much is in the mind today, as it has always been. So we must learn as Christians to have the right things going through our minds. And here we have some very clear words that will help us as far as filtering the content in our media use, whatever device that might be. The content filter. We are to think upon these types of things. We are to exercise our minds on these types of things in the verse. Notice there is 8 things listed. Truth, honesty, justice, purity, that which is lovely, that which is good report, that which is virtuous, and that which is praiseworthy. 8 things. So this could be a very helpful test for us to apply in the area of our media use as far as its content. We need to think about that. Is it true? Okay, is it either teaching us truth, or is it in harmony with truth, or is it going contrary to the truth, something that is in opposition to the truth? Is it honest? The word honest has the idea of that which is worthy of respect, that which is honourable, noble, and dignified. I mentioned in a previous message that there's a great loss of culture amongst Christians, just dignity of living, that which is noble and honourable. So is it honest? Is it just? Does it reflect justice or righteousness? Is it pure? And this word pure means morally pure and undefiled. That right there will filter out probably 95% of what the world has for us so far as media consumption is concerned. Is it morally pure and undefiled? We know that God hates wicked imaginations, Proverbs 6:18. It's one of the 6 things that the Lord hates, yea, 7 are an abomination unto Him. Something that is detestable to God is those who devise or create or manufacture, come up with wicked imaginations. And sadly, that's what we see in much of the world's media, is man's wicked thinking, perverted, twisted thinking, depraved thinking, projected into entertainment, so-called. And that when God looked upon the pre-flood world, He saw that the imaginations of their hearts was only evil continually. And God had to bring judgment upon them. We're living in an age very similar to that today. We know that towards the end of time, it's going to be as the days of Noah, the Lord Jesus said, didn't He? And what do we see today? People whose minds are just almost constantly, 24 hours a day or whenever they're awake, are consumed with evil imaginations, twisted thinking, perverted thinking, eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. So is it pure? Is it true, honest, just? Is it pure? Is it morally pure? Do you really think that the Lord would be pleased with us viewing something that has an immoral scene? Do you really think that God would be okay with that if we take this verse seriously? Do you really think the Lord would be happy about us watching something with violent content where somebody's getting ripped to pieces or punched to pieces or whatever, shot to pieces? Do you really think that the Lord would honour that? If we're going to take the content filter seriously, well, we're going to purge out a lot of those things, aren't we, and be very careful. Is it lovely? Is it lovely? Is there something appealing about it? Is it acceptable? Is it aesthetic? Is there any beauty? Or is it just a reflection of man's evil heart? Is it of good report? Good report, that which is edifying and uplifting. Is there virtue? The word virtue has the idea of that which is morally excellent. Is it praiseworthy? Worthy of commendation? So the question we need to ask ourselves as we think about the content filter is, am I exercising my mind upon something wholesome? Whatever form of media it is, am I applying the divinely inspired content filter, the eightfold test in Philippians 4, verse 8? And if we do that, it's going to help us to really regulate our media use in our home. It's going to change the way we handle our television sets if we have them. It's going to have an effect on what we do online. And the list just goes on smartphones. It's a whole approach to our lives. We take this seriously, that God claims sovereignty over what I allow into my mind. It's not just up to me to exercise my mind upon everything that the world has to offer. I want to be careful that these things are wholesome. Are they wholesome? Okay, and there are a lot of tremendous resources available today, even some secular productions that we can legitimately enjoy in the right context, definitely, and things that are informative, and even some films even. But we must be very careful, very, very careful, and diligently apply the content filter. There are a couple of other verses I'll give you on this point. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The counsel of the ungodly is something that is to be avoided by the Christian. Proverbs 19:27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. There are certain forms of instruction which will cause us as Christians to deviate from the truth. And that's what we see today in many families. Families drifting away from biblical foundations because they're allowing their whole philosophy and worldview, unwittingly at times, to be shaped by ungodly media in their lives and in their homes. And there's a deadening of their conscience. There's a dulling of their spiritual sensitivity and their moral sharpness on things. So apply the content filter. When we talk about media in the home, let's analyse the content of what we are viewing, what we are reading, whatever it be. It applies to books too, right across the board. Information in the home. Let's apply the content filter and run through those eight words in Philippians 4:8 and see whether we could, with good conscience, then be partaking of those things. Number two, the elimination filter. The elimination filter, Romans 13 and verse 14. And here we look at the principle of not making provision for the flesh. Very important verse of Scripture, Romans 13 and 14, verse 14, says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." You say, well, Pastor, hasn't God dealt with the flesh in Romans 6? He crucified it for us. Praise the Lord. Yes, he did. But that does not mean that in the practical areas of life, we don't guard against our own potential. We need to be so aware as Christians of our potential. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now, we have something called covenant eyes on all of our, to cover all of our internet in our home, across our devices. You say, Pastor, are you saying that you have a problem with looking at the wrong things online? No, by God's grace, I've never had an issue. But I'm not so foolish as to believe that I could never develop an issue. Okay? The Bible says, don't make provision for the flesh. I don't trust myself. In my flesh, in your flesh, dwells no good thing. And within each of us, there is the potential for us to sin grievously against the Lord, as David did, or to indulge in things that we never thought possible. So there is a principle here of putting protective measures in place, of being alert to areas in our lives where we may be allowing an open destructive source of temptation. And I think the unfiltered internet would be a good example today. I would say that if we have unfiltered internet, we're getting very close, I would suggest, to violating the Romans 13, 14 principle of making provision for the flesh. Okay, we need to have some form of accountability, some form of filtering, I would suggest, with the internet world today and with the tremendous amount of pop-ups and adverts and things. There needs to be a sober-mindedness in God's people about this and not a trust in the flesh. So make not provision for the flesh, the elimination filter. Some sources of information need to maybe even be shut off completely. Or we put very careful protective measures in place, understanding the potential in our flesh for sin. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. It's a command for believers. We're to abstain from that which has the appearance of evil. Psalm 101 verse 3, David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. So as Christians, we need to eliminate those areas of temptation, destructive sources of temptation that could easily lure us away from the Lord and drag us down into grievous sin. So the elimination filter, and the question we need to ask ourselves, am I unwisely entertaining destructive sources of temptation in my life? Number three, third filter, the separation filter. The separation filter. And the question here is, am I applying the doctrine of separation practically in my media choices? You see that there's so many verses in the Word of God that we can apply to this issue, many other issues. These are great principles, great truths that will help us in these areas. The separation filter. In other words, God has given us certain commands concerning the need to live a separated Christian life. We find in the Bible the teaching of positional holiness that then translates into practical holiness. Don't divorce the two. The two are meant to go together. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 4 to illustrate for a moment. And I've been encouraged just memorizing this passage of late. 1 Thessalonians 4, and it shows the practical side of holiness very clearly. You say, well, I'm holy in Christ. That's forever settled. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't mean that there's not to be a practical outworking in my life. And the Bible does here, in this passage particularly, zero in on the practical aspect of holiness. Verse 1 of chapter 4, furthermore then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. These are the commands of Christ through the apostles, and this is the command. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, your holiness, your separated living, that ye should abstain from fornication. That's something that applies to a practical area of life, doesn't it? It's talking about moral purity. All right, this is part of your sanctification, he says, that you would abstain from this sin of fornication, which encompasses, it's a fairly broad word, encompassing pretty well all types of immorality. Verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. See, again, it's a practical view of sanctification here. Verse 5, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Drop down to verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, context, moral uncleanness, but unto what? Holiness. Powerful verse in verse 8. He therefore that despiseth what? What do you think it's referring to? Despiseth the command to holiness. He therefore that despiseth, if you have a flippant attitude towards this command, God has called us unto holiness, we've been given practical commands concerning holiness. If we have the wrong attitude towards this command, the Bible says we despise not man but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. You know, sadly today, that is the attitude though of many Christians. They sneer at the idea of practical holiness. They take issue with you for even addressing practical areas from the pulpit as if that's a form of legalism. And look, we do understand there is the area called legalism we want to be careful of, but the Bible, let's just put that label aside for a minute, which is thrown around very loosely today. Let's just go to the plain statements of Scripture concerning these things, this clear biblical parameters that are laid out for us, and let's concern ourselves with those first. Most of us are disobedient in the simple, plain, straightforward things before getting complicated on other things. So if we have a spirit of mocking, of thinking light of the matter of holiness, the Bible says you actually despise God, not man. You're despising God, who has given unto us his Holy Spirit. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and it reflects an attitude problem towards God when we do not take holiness seriously. In this passage, is it referring to positional holiness? No, not so much. It's more focusing in upon practical holiness, taking holiness seriously in the area of our morals. That would include our mind and what we allow into our minds. So the separation filter, are we applying the doctrine of separation, our position in Christ, our positional holiness in our media choices? 1 John 2:15 through 17, another verse, a couple of verses. And I'm sure you know these well. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Okay, again, we don't see the word iPad or Xbox there, do we? But can you see how we can take a very clear command of Scripture concerning the way we are to pattern our lives? We're not to, as Christians, entertain an affection for the world and the things of the world, the spirit of the world, the philosophies of the world, the entertainment of the world. We need to be so careful of those things and not have a love for them. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, these are the things, as we would expect, that saturate the world's media and entertainment. Ephesians 5:11, another clear verse on separation, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. No fellowship at all. The unfruitful works of darkness. The Christian is rather to reprove them. He is to bring rebuke and reproof against those things rather than indulging in them. Do you think the Lord would be pleased with some of these supernatural films? Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings and Star Wars and all those sorts of things. If you're going to take the Word of God seriously, do you really think, as a Christian, that those are the sorts of things the Lord would have us indulge in as believers? I don't think so. If we take these clear commands seriously and apply them to that area of our lives, no fellowship at all with the unfruitful works of darkness. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." You say, well, praise the Lord, I've been made holy in Christ and I'm separate in him, and now I can just kind of just hang around and dag around and live the way I like. No, my position in Christ is meant to change the way I live. And here we have, again, a practical exhortation. We're to come out. There's to be a separation and a separated form of living from that which is unclean, that which is unholy. So the separation filter. Taking seriously the commands in Scripture to practical holiness. Many other verses we could look at. But again, I hope you can see from this that there are many verses that we can take and apply to help filter and regulate media in our homes. Number four, and lastly tonight, and probably one of the most convicting, the time filter. The time filter. Ephesians 5:16, Colossians 4:5, both exhort the believer to redeem the time. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Last week I mentioned a statistic that the average young person today spends about 9 hours per day on media, which is more time than they spend sleeping, more time than they spend in school. So media is now the primary educator of our young people. And it shows, doesn't it, in the world today. That's why they walk around looking like they've just come out of the zoo, with zoo-like hairstyles and earrings and piercings and everything else. And you think, those guys need to go and join Simba the Lion at the zoo. Or maybe the apes. Maybe that's what they're trying to look like, an evolutionary. It's like I didn't believe the theory of evolution until I saw you. Then I was tempted. I tell my kids that sometimes. I said, don't try not to give evidence for evolution by the way you're acting. Okay? Anyway, it's just I'm being silly, but you know what I'm saying. So the time filter, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Now this filter will work for both ungodly media and even wholesome media. Okay, even that which is legitimate, wholesome, we can enjoy with a good conscience, we still need to be careful to apply God's time filter to it. Okay? Now the principle of rest is found in the Bible. Even Christ and the disciples went aside for a time of rest. So I wouldn't go so far as to say that all rest and leisure and relaxation is wrong. But if we look at the way it's, if we look at it in our society, there's an overemphasis, isn't there, on entertainment, amusement, leisure, as opposed to the biblical balance, okay? So what we find exemplified in Christ and the disciples was a life that on the whole was consumed with the service of God. They were tired in the work of God and busy laboring for God, and that's what consumed their lives. And then there was times of rest as required to recuperate in order to then go and serve again. So as Christians, we can have time of rest and perhaps even during that time of rest, enjoy something wholesome, okay? But we need to always be careful that we're not following the trend of the world, which is giving most of our quality time and most of our spare time to empty things, things that may in and of themselves not even necessarily be evil, but might just be a waste of time. Do we really need to read the news for 3 hours a day? Okay, you could argue there's really nothing wrong with it. I'm just keeping up with it. Okay, I have to sometimes regulate, look, do I really need to read any more news for today or just leave it now? Okay, the principle of being a good time manager for the Lord. Now, the word redeem here means to buy back at the marketplace. So we get the picture. Someone goes to the market, they see something that is a good value for money and they seize that opportunity. And that's the type of spirit that God wants us to have as Christians in relation to our time. We don't just burn away the hours in a foolish way. We are alert as Christians, looking for how we can use our time for God's glory and not wasting our time, not squandering our time on things that don't profit. So this is important. God gives us 1,440 minutes to spend every 24 hours. How do we use our time? We do live in a time-wasting generation, don't we? So much time wasted, even to some degree on things that in and of themselves may pass the Philippians 4:8 test. Endless amounts of communication and social stuff. Okay, the social media world, most of that won't pass Philippians 4:8, I would suggest, by what I see on there, with just the gossip and bad pictures and all those sorts of things. So apply Philippians 4:8 to your Facebook page and see how many friends you end up left with, and go from there. But the time filter certainly would apply, wouldn't it, in those things? Legitimate things, even necessary things at times, communication. We need to be careful as Christians with our lives. We know that James 4:14 tells us that our life's like a vapor. And as Christians, we want to be using that little puff of smoke, that little puff of air called life, and at every at every opportunity, channeling our time and our energies into serving the Lord and furthering the kingdom and spreading the gospel and being involved in the work of God. Yes, taking some time here and there for leisure, for some rest, but with a view to then serving again, okay, as opposed to a whole culture today of just laziness and amusement after amusement and entertainment. No, I don't believe that the Bible would encourage that type of attitude as believers. So four tests tonight. You could maybe think of others as we think about media in the home. Content filter. What's the content of what I'm viewing or what I'm reading? Does it pass Philippians 4:8? Can I, with good conscience, with that in light of that verse, partake of that? The elimination filter. Not making provision for the flesh, shutting off destructive channels completely if necessary, or putting protective measures in place, not having a false sense of security in my flesh. The separation filter, applying the doctrine of separation in my media choices, the clear commands that God has concerning the believer and the world. And then the time filter, with all types of media, am I using my time wisely for the Lord, or am I just caught up in endless wasting of time on things that just don't profit for eternity? All right, hope that'll give you some thoughts, parents. And like I've mentioned more than once now, my heart as a pastor in doing these lessons with you is not to discourage you. I'm 100% behind you. I pray for you. And I just feel a burden in heart to try and just look at some principles from God's word for myself as much as for others that'll help us.